Hey, everybody, in this episode of the GH Report, we're going to break down all the latest Port Charles shenanigans. Let's not waste any more time. Let's dive right into it.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I'm jumping camera to camera. Why? Because I'm alone greeting you on this episode of the GH Report. There you go, right out of the gate, already cussing Steve in the booth. A lot of hassles, but jumping from camera to camera. Hey, everybody. I'll bounce back right back to here to say hello. Welcome to the GH Report. This, of course, is the show where we break down all the latest happenings in Port Charles every single week. I'm your host, Frank Moran. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie. My other co-hosts are out on assignment this week, so it is just you and I, a little intimate conversation as we talk about all the latest goings on there in the world of General Hospital. But of course, folks, you can like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and of course, we're going to pull up the chat. So if I can ask Steve, if you wouldn't mind pulling up the chat nice and big on the screen, I'll be able to share, read your thoughts and your comments as we're talking about the latest happenings. Unfortunately, due to technical difficulties, we're not going to be able to do any phone calls this evening. So I apologize for that, but we'll make sure next time we get a chance to talk to you folks, because it's always great when we get to hear your lovely voice as well as read your lovely thoughts. So, side note to Josie, I hope you're enjoying that Jamba Juice. There you go. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's dive right into it. Now, I think I've made I haven't hid my love for the dual Jason storyline, but definitely, as I was mentioning last week, the storyline that has kind of galvanized me to want to watch every episode every single day, as opposed to kind of like letting it pile up 2, 3, maybe sometimes even 4 or 5 episodes and then kind of burning them all through like either on Friday or Saturday night. No, this one I want to make sure I'm watching it every single day. So that's that storyline I'm really enjoying, and we'll get to that in just a second. But one other storyline that I'm kind of intrigued by is I'm intrigued by Valentine this week. He had a lot of interesting stuff going on. And we'll dive right into it, where Anna and Valentine are having a conversation, and we do see that Anna wants to, of course, she's doing this whole thing with Celeste, trying to track her down, knows that Valentine's connected with her, and feels like, you know, at first it seemed like it was more about trying to get Valentine at least implicated in some sense with what Celeste was doing as well, but now it seems to be less about Valentine and more about trying to stop Celeste, trying to stop this importing of drugs, stopping them from taking over American soil, let alone specifically Port Charles. So that seems to be the deal there, but using Valentine as kind of her leverage to get in. And her and Valentine have a conversation. And one, it's always interesting that Valentine kind of turns the tables and shows up at Anna's place, kind of breaks in unannounced. And she's already freaked out by that. And I do like that Valentine says, hey, well, you know, hey, hold on. Celeste. Yeah, our Melvin fan, you're correct. I don't know why I said Celeste. I get all my C words here. Cassandra. There you go. Got my Cassandra. I got my Claudette, my Cassandra, my Charlotte. I don't know why I was thinking Celeste. Why that popped in my head. Thank you, our Melvin fan. Thank you, Kelly from PEI. Yes. Sorry, it's been one of those days. Got to get my C words. Get them all together. But anyway, we get to see a conversation between Valentine and Anna. And Valentine says, you know, of course, I don't want drugs in the city, anywhere near my daughter, and impacting my family at all. And Anna's like, hey, well, then you know what you can do? You can get involved somehow. You can actually come work for me and be a spy and get the goods on Cassandra. And I do like that Valentine's first reaction is, no way, Jose. And I gotta admit, like, for as much as Anna and Valentine have kind of put, I feel like they've kind of put their history to bed for the most part, but I certainly understand why Valentine, even if he's kind of at a somewhat better place with Anna, has really no inclination to want to put himself in a situation where he is kind of working for her and with the definite potential of being burned by her again. I could completely understand why Valentine's like, nope, I'll take that's a hard pass on me too. So, of course, Valentine leaves, and he goes back to Claudette. Not Claudette. Man, I'm getting all my Cassandra. Getting all my C words here mixed up today. Cassandra, and Cassandra is just pushing all of Valentine's buttons. Hanging out there with Nina and Charlotte, hanging out with them, getting selfies with them, talking to them about ice skating and all that stuff. And finally, and of course, we know that Valentine has, you know, we've got everything with Claudette. Is basically being, yes, Kelly for PEI, I know, Cassandra. It's probably going to happen. Folks, full disclosure, I bet you there's going to be a lot of times I'm going to mess up those C words today. There's going to be a lot of C words that are going to be mixed and jumbled. Full disclosure, my apologies for that. I will do my best to remember and keep that all on top of it, but I bet you there's going to be some occasional slip-ups. So please, let's forgive me on that. So we get to see, though, that Cassandra cannot help but pushing Valentine's button some more. Already has the leverage of, like, hey, you know what? If I go down, I can easily tell the world here that, you know what? I know what you did to and with Claudette. So Valentine's already feeling the heat there. And by the end of the week, kind of changes his tune. He says, you know what? I am going to definitely help you. I'm going to be part of your organization. And it'll be interesting to see how Valentine's going to be able to kind of skirt this. By trying to eliminate Cassandra, but doing it in such a way that nothing can blow back on him, and so that she does not pull the trigger on what's happened with Claudette. I feel like it's not going to work, because you don't show Claudette's picture holding up a newspaper showing that it's currently this time of day, it's not going to be found out. That we're not going to find out exactly what happened with Claudette. She's not going to come forward, get a chance to be reunited with Charlotte, kind of blow up what Valentine did, maybe. This seems like the perfect time to have something jeopardize the child custody case and see Valentine go from a position of strength to a tremendous position of weakness on this. So that is definitely a ticking time bomb, and that's not a matter of if, but I feel when that whole revelation is going to come. And knowing how the writers are probably going to time this up, it's going to be at just the most inopportune moment for Valentine that this gets exposed. So whenever we start getting wind of the child custody hearing starting to ramp up again, you can feel like that's a pretty good timeline for when the revelation that Claudette is still alive is going to happen. I feel like Cassandra is not going to want to do, if she's going to hurt Valentine, she's going to do it at the time that it's going to do him the most damage. And certainly a child custody hearing, the perfect time to let a revelation like that go. But it'll be interesting to see what happens with Valentine and Anna. The fact that they're going to try to work together again for this, are they going to be able to fully trust each other on this, or are they still going to be kind of hedging their bets? Certainly Valentine, I feel like he always has some ulterior motives for everything he does. So I don't know if he's going to – I can't imagine him going all in and trusting Anna. I feel like he will tell her some information, but is going to keep what I guess would be most beneficial to him, or what could implicate him the most, certainly keep it to himself and try to keep that away from Anna. So that'll be interesting to see how that kind of develops. So I was really intrigued by Valentine. But the other part that I was really intrigued about Valentine is what everything that happened with Nina, Nina, Nell, and Valentine, and the fact that that Nell decides, hey, you know what, this would be a great time to blackmail Valentine. I don't know why she thought at any time that would be a good time to blackmail Valentine. He has given her enough ideas, like, hey, you don't want to mess with my family. You don't want to mess with me. I will do things to you you would not want that to have done to you. And yet Nell cannot help but just, like, you know what? I think I have a little leverage on him. I'm just going to go for it. I'm going to blackmail him and see what this gets me. And poor Nell, man. Everything just blew up in her face this week. So she tries to blackmail Valentine by showing her the picture of he and Cassandra kissing and saying, you know what? I'd hate to show this to Nina, but, I mean, if you can talk to her about either, like, you know, getting me a raise, or if they can't give me a raise because Aurora is, you know, waiting to acquire Derek Wells Media and everything's kind of up in the air, then if you want to give me some money to help keep this quiet. And I like that Valentine says, you know what? This is the worst mistake you could make. You don't want to do this. And what I did like, though, is, hey, you know, we didn't have, like, weeks and weeks of, like, Nell, like, kind of like, oh, should I do it? Should I really kind of tempt fate? Should I go against Valentine? I like that Nell pretty much just right next scene went right to Nina and went to go pull the trigger. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I've got this picture. And kudos to the GH writers. I was not expecting this, that it was going to take – I was expecting for Nina to fall for it completely, hook, line, and sinker, Then we're going to see Nina and Valentine kind of shatter apart there, and we're going to have to watch for weeks as they kind of, Nina is like, no, I can't do this to you. I can't do this again. It would be kind of tiresome scenes that we had already seen before. But I do like that Nina picks up, like, hey, you've had this picture for, you know, at least a month, if not more, and now you're just showing it to me. You wanted to do this for, like, the maximum amount of impact. You're probably blackmailing him. You're mad that you didn't get the raise, and now you're doing this. So guess what? I don't like the way you're doing this. This is pretty shady, pretty underhanded. You're fired. Did like seeing that. That was it was an unexpected twist for the Nina story, for the Nell storyline, but I liked it. It does make you wonder, though, Rob M. in the chat is, why did GH writers have to ruin Nell? I mean, I can understand that, Rob, because they basically spent, like, this week just like, hey, you know, let's, like, pretty much detonate everything that's going on in Nell's life. I mean, they did it last week with Michael and Nell, so you kind of blow that part up. This week, you definitely have her make an enemy out of Valentine, for sure, and then you get her fired from her job with Nina, something that she seemed to really enjoy and, you know, according to Nell, was fantastic at. So now I don't know what the plan is for Nell. She's going to be kind of floundering around. I know we saw some previews of her and Michael talking. I don't know if that's some steps towards reconciliation or just the idea of, like, hey, if we're both living in the same town, we're probably going to run into each other. We can at least be civil to each other when we run into each other. We don't have to worry about making it, like, heated and antagonistic. But I don't know. Sorry you couldn't see. Somebody said they saved Nell for you. She couldn't stand the sweet, sappy Nell. If they want to just double down on the Nell being devious, this would certainly give her – she's definitely boxed into a corner. So when you're boxed in a corner, you got to strike back. So this could be definitely a way to make Nell just like a really just – you know, she's not afraid to throw shade, be sneaky, get what she needs, take what she wants. So that could be interesting. Our Melvin fan, Nell was more as annoying as hell this week, more than usual. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what I want out of Nell. I was kind of tired of her first initial storyline when she was blackmailing Sonny and started falling for Michael. And I kind of liked at least the change that had been. Well, I can't say that I liked the change. When they had the revelation that she basically was mad at Carly for the wrong reasons, that, you know, she'd kind of bought her dad's lies. And we ultimately found out it was Jax that was behind everything, but that she had blamed Carly and her father had really didn't clear that up for her. So the fact that she'd spent all this time trying to ruin somebody else's life based on a lie kind of really undercut her. I remember saying that at the time. It just kind of really took the legs out of that character. And since then, I mean, it's been kind of tough to see her kind of rebuild herself. It never really made sense why Nell, after everything kind of went down in this town, that she decided to stay. I mean, I can understand, like, there's nothing back for her back at home, but there's plenty of other places in this country, many other states, many, many, many other towns that you can go to that you have nobody, you can really make a fresh start. And, you know, I guess, you know, the writers really enjoyed the actress, if not the character, and decided to keep her on the show. But I don't know. I felt like since that big reveal about why she was doing everything to Carly and Sonny, I really saw no reason for it. Seemed weird for me to why she would want to stay in a city like that. If I were in her position and everything kind of blew up in my face, I would just, you know, head out of town with my tail between my legs, find some place and set up shop where nobody knows me and just rebuild my life over from scratch in that town. But she's we have to do with what we have to work with what we've got. And now we've got Nell here in town. Kind of her life's kind of in shambles right now. And I guess we'll see what happens. I don't know if I'm that interested or not, to be honest. I agree with many of you here in the chat. Especially Michael B. says he better not take Nell back. I mean, how many times did people have to say that Michael is certainly the most forgiving and understanding person? Guys, I mean, he forgave Sonny for killing his father, killing AJ. And they're thick as thieves now. So asking her to, to take back Nell, asking him to take back Nell, what Nell's done and what Sonny did, two different things. So I feel like on the scale, Nell's is much less than what Sonny did. So I would not be surprised if Michael at some point forgave Nell and took her back. Not that I want that to happen, because the whole, if they continue the storyline, did she really kill her fiance? Can Michael really trust her? What's going on? Ugh. I'm not really interested in more of that. as Kelly from PEI says, Nell is a younger Carly. Yeah, she's a younger Carly. I feel like, and I don't know, like, I feel like the difference between that Nell is a younger Carly is that, well, when Carly at least came on, certainly for, like, the initial stuff that she was doing. I mean, she breaks out, she's hooks up with Tony, kind of breaks up the marriage between Bobby and Tony. But the thing that she at least had kind of going for her is that she was friends with Jason. I mean, certainly kind of they, I think that friendship with Jason, at least, so can show sides of her that weren't totally. You can show some kind of moments because it wasn't a romantic relationship. It was a relationship built on friendship, and you could just see some of the kinder, sweeter sides of Carly come out. But she could still do all the Carly things that she would do, and it'd be up for Jason to kind of try to rein her back in or try to kind of salvage what the destruction that Carly had wrought. And I don't feel like we have anybody like that for Nell. That can kind of be that balance point where there's not like a romantic relationship, but it is a friendship that, you know, that they're kind of in Nell's corner. And even if she gets wild and crazy and does destructive things, you can kind of rein her back. if there was a character like that, and I thought for a second they might have gone that way, say with Kiki and Nell, when they kind of teased for a little bit that Kiki may have been looking for a roommate. Nell, of course, was, you know, thinking about moving out because she can afford a place on her own. I thought they were kind of teasing the idea that maybe Kiki and Nell would become really good friends. And maybe that could have been somebody that could have been the Jason to Nell's Carly, kind of, so to speak. But so far, I haven't seen any kind of progression or follow-up on that kind of little storyline nugget that they dangled in front of us. So without that, I feel like it's, you know, I'd be interested to see what Nell does because she really doesn't have any other real friendships built in there other than Jocelyn. That seems to be the only other person that's really like, yeah, I like Nell a lot. She's great. But other than that, I don't know. So we've got the whole Nell storyline. Now, to jump back, though, of course, we're talking about Nina and Valentin. The whole photo gets exposed. Nina is mad as heck. I'm curious to see what happens with the fallout is between Nina and Valentin about this. That I would hope that Valentin would at least come forward and say, hey, you know, I feel like with anybody on the show that he should be the most honest with Nina. And if he just kind of tells her what's up, maybe that might help. You know, I feel like if you were kissed, whether you kissed a person or not, if that person kissed you and you just, you know, a photograph can make it seem like it lasted forever. And even if it was only for a second, 10 seconds, you know, that photo makes it seem like it was much longer and makes it seem that it was much more of a reciprocated kiss than maybe originally it was. So I feel like, you know, Valentin's really got to explain to Nita, like, hey, I know you saw this photo. It looks like that we were kissing, but it wasn't. It was Cassandra kissing me. I don't want anything to do with her. She's into drugs. She wants to get me involved. I think he'd buy himself some wiggle room if he at least was honest about what was going on with Nina. But I also feel like Nina is too uncontrollable because the more information that Nina does know, anytime Valentin tells her like, oh, hey, you know what? Laura came in and pulled a gun on me. Or, hey, this person came up and they beat me. Nina's first inclination is like, we got to go to the authorities. And sometimes Valentin's able to talk her out of it, and sometimes he's not. And she goes right away and just calls the cops anyway, and things can only get worse. So I feel like I can understand why Valentin may not be as forthcoming with all the information about Cassandra, because I don't know if he could rely on Nina to be completely quiet about it and not go to authorities and try to rat Cassandra out, which would be, for Valentin, disastrous, because then that means for sure his secret with in regards to Claudette is going to get exposed. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. Let's see. Oh, we've got Marcel in the chat. Says, Valentin can just tell Nina that Cassandra has something on him and is forcing him to work with her, but not tell Tina what that something is. I can understand that, Marcel, but you also know that if he's not going to tell Nina what it is that Cassandra has over him, Nina is not going to let that go. She is going to want to know what that is. And that's only going to drive, I think that'll only make things crazier for Valentin, with Nina constantly asking, what does she have on you? And Valentine could lie, I guess, and make something else up. But you could be assured that whatever lie that he told her, it would be found out at a later point that it was a lie and that wasn't really what Cassandra had on him. And that's only going to lead to more problems. So, yeah, I don't know. I see people are already kind of plotting Nell's demise on here. I don't know. I'm trying to think like the equivalent of like a Will Cortland, which of course James Patrick Stewart played on All My Children, something where they really built up to the death of Will Cortland storyline, where he was pissing everybody off left and right. And so by the time that he got killed, there were many people on that canvas that had a legitimate reason for wanting him dead. And so he'd give you a lot of suspects to kind of pick apart and try to find out. Certainly, I felt like the resolution to that was kind of disappointing because it basically it's one of those where you tease everybody on canvas as having a great motive. So you feel like, oh my gosh, one of these people that I really like and care about could be the killer. And then at the end you find out, oh no, it's crazy what's her name, twin sister there in the insane asylum. She gets out and she kills him. Well, great. So that was kind of an undercutting of that storyline. But I feel like what we're saying is that it's been a while since we felt like a character that everybody hates and that ends up dead and you have a really interesting whodunit. It's been a while since we've had one of those. So yeah, who knows? I don't know if Nell is necessarily that person. I don't think that she's angered enough people that seeing her killed off would be like a really cool whodunit kind of storyline that I'd want to see going on right now. From PEI, Kelly and PEI, the Who Shot Nell storyline. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like she hasn't ruffled enough feathers to warrant a storyline like that. If you want to spend the next, 2 to 3 months kind of really just making sure she just irritates everybody in Port Charles to the point where like somebody would want her dead, then maybe. But yeah, I don't know. Michael B., a murder mystery. I like that. True. It would be interesting to see how effective the PCPD would be on this case. They haven't really been that effective so far, but Heather Weber is too nuts to die. She definitely is. So it'll be interesting to see what the fallout is between Nina and Valentine and this photo of Valentine kissing Cassandra. The other storyline we have kind of tangential to Cassandra is back again with Anna. And one of the reasons that Valentine went to go visit her is like, hey, you know what? This whole relationship that you say you have with Finn, I know that's a fake. There's no way that you guys are really a couple. And if I tell Cassandra this, guess what? Everything that you've been trying to set up is definitely going to be blown. She's going to head out of the country, and you're never going to be able to find her. This is as close as you can get. So lay off me, or else I'll kind of spill the beans on what the deal is with you and Finn. And we see that Finn, at least with Finn and Anna, I mean, the idea was like, hey, you know what? We're just going to say we've broken up. You know, Cassandra doesn't have any illnesses. It's all, she's just a hypochondriac. We'll just say that we broke up so that way we can go back to our leading our separate lives. And Finn can't quite backpedal off of that once he sees Cassandra. Whether it's, I don't know how much of it is like Anna's involvement in it, but more so the opioids side of it too, where he as a recovering addict knows how damaging those drugs can be and doesn't want to see those hurt anybody else. So, Dual Man, quick side tangent there. They're bringing back Nora. Yay. I'm hoping, well, we'll see. It's great to have Nora back, but I also feel like it's just going to be like one episode for one scene of Alexis talking to Nora real quick, and then that's the last we'll see of Nora for a while, which is disappointing. Because more Nora would be a cool thing. But, Miss Yaki in the chat says that she thinks Finn is warming up to Anna's English charm. Yeah, they do seem to have a chemistry. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, I'm always going to wish for the romance that we never got between Andre and Anna. But, you know, clearly we're not going in that direction, which is a shame. So if I can't have that, then sure, I guess like a Finn and Anna storyline is the next best thing. I guess I'll take that. So of course, then Finn says, you know, hey, yeah, we're still kind of, he kind of plays a coy with Cassandra, like anytime she's asking if he's single or not, he kind of plays a coy, never really giving Cassandra a direct answer. But then Finn tells Anna, hey, we got to keep this going because I have we got to stop this drug ring from happening. So we've got that happening, and then we have saw some interesting scenes too with Monica and Finn trying to because there's people dying overdosing on the opioids. We have somebody that's kind of brought in without any identification that's struggling with being strung out on these opioids, and so Monica and Finn have several conversations about how dangerous and damaging these drugs are and what they need to do to be able to stop them. And that segues into probably my least favorite storyline. As always, it's always my least favorite storyline. You don't even have to guess at what I'm going to say is my least favorite storyline. And that is, of course, man, Landers. I am kind of really bummed on the storyline because I also feel like it doesn't do Maxie any favors as well either. That she, Kelly and PEI says, sounds like Finn is going to be involved somewhat in the Man Lander storyline. I feel very tangential. So, first, let's just get out of the way that, Taylor Jones, Man Lander's mom wants to make me scream. MGP18. I never watched those scenes. I watched them all just so I can fully build up a great rant about it. And my rant about the Manlander scenes this week is this. So we have this conversation between Amy, Maxie, and Nathan. And Maxie kind of lays into him about, like, hey, you know what? She kind of does her, like, so, you know, exhibit A, B, C, D, about breaking down, like, everything that she felt had been done to her in terms of this whole Manlander thing getting to the point it has, and that now she wants to be able to get her piece of the pie as well, so to speak. She's just trying to salvage something out of the situation. That's why she wants this exclusive article. So we get to see this exclusive article being at least a photo shoot of it happening. And, you know, just like the more those scenes played, the more it came out that it was just like, Maxie is not really doing this just necessarily to get a job, but she basically, I feel like the job is one thing, but I also feel like the most important thing, though, is that she is tired of being kind of, kind of torn down on Twitter and social media about how she, Nathan Manlanders is too good for Maxie. She's not good enough to have him. And that is just like, I feel like Maxie's being so petty about this. Basically, she wants this article written out there to really just emphasize how great Maxie is. Like, I want you to write an article about, sure, it's me and Manlanders, but it's mostly about, like, mainly me, about, like, how you've done all these great things for me because I'm so great and that, you know, our love is great and you worship me. You've put me on a pedestal. And so if you worship me, then, of course, everybody else, all your fans, should worship me as well, too. Not necessarily worship could be a strong word, but at least in the sense where they should be appreciative that, you know, my gosh, you Manlanders, holy cow, you are so lucky to have Maxie in your life. And we are so sorry we ever said anything negative about her on social media. All hail Maxie Jones. All hail Maxie Jones. And, man, I was really turned off by Maxie this week just thinking like that because I felt like, ugh, what the – Maxie, you're doing this for – I feel the wrong reasons. The first thing you should be doing is just cutting this entirely. And no matter how much that Amy and Nathan say, hey, the more we kind of lie about this or embellish the story, the more blowback that we could have on this because we're already committing fraud. I don't know about – I feel like on the legal side for Amy and Nathan, I don't feel like it's as dire as as they're portraying it to be. But I also feel like Maxie's doing no favors by really trying to embellish a story and make it just easier for them to trip themselves up or people wanting to like fact check more information or really dive into certain details that they won't be able to completely answer because it's all made up. To the point where you see Maxie being jealous of Amy and Nathan because this article that Amy's trying to – she writes an article and then Maxie doesn't like it and then says, you know what? You should be asking about like this kind of question or this kind of question. And Amy's like, you know, this is not the kind of questions that we get. And Dulamin, get Amy out of here. I'm no big fan of Amy. She's at least been tempered down slightly with the introduction of at least Chet and her motivations for wanting to do this Manlanders thing. But a little Amy goes a long way with me. And I have no desire to see more of this Manlander story. I would just love it to just end right now. But we are at least building it up for a little while longer because now we've introduced Chet, who happens to be the kind of John Doe that was brought in that had overdosed on opioids. And so we now have Chet on canvas. We've all been waiting for Chet. Dulamin, she serves no purpose. All right. I see what you're saying. You're not going to see me really defend Amy to interview guys. And Chet is blah. Yeah. You know, I don't know, guys. We've been hearing about Chet's name. His name has been dropped so much. It was either I felt like I was some days and some weeks I was kind of vying for like who's getting mentioned and name checked the most. Was it Chet or was it Nicholas? And yeah, Chet's introduction, great. I don't know why we're seeing Chet. I don't know how long we're seeing Chet for. I really have no desire to see more of Chet, more of Amy. I just they got to wrap this Manlander storyline up. But what they're doing with Maxie is just irritating, because all Maxie's doing is, you know, when she decides to rewrite Amy's story and kind of put more about her, about Maxie, really building up Maxie in the storyline, all it's going to do is going to lead to more problems. And so everything's going to blow up in their faces, and it's going to be Maxie's fault, which is going to be great. Can't wait to do this. It seems very irritating. I feel like we know the end of the storyline, and yet we're just dragging it out to get to this point. And for Maxie to come back and say, Nita wants an exclusive, so, you know, this is what she wants, and this is what she's going to get. If anybody talks to Nina, she's not going to want to also expose Nathan to anything that could get him potentially in trouble. So, you know, ease up on that one, Maxie, because I feel like Nina wants a story, but she doesn't want a story, because she wants a puff piece. Puff piece is great. It makes Crimson look good. They got this exclusive. It's a nice puff piece, but it kind of satisfies the readership and satisfies what Nita wants in terms of an exclusive. It's only Maxie and her wounded pride that is trying to make this more, which is going to end up blowing up in their faces. So that storyline's irritating, and it can't get done fast enough. Please get out of here. the other storyline that I'd be curious to see what you hear in the chat think about it, and that is the Alexis and Julian scenes. So we get to see Alexis finally. Scotty comes up to Alexis, says, hey, guess what? Your boy Julian, he's getting beat up in prison. You should go see him. She does. And we get to see a nice beat up William DeVry kind of show up there. He's been off canvas for a while. First question I'm going to ask the chat, have you missed Julian? So when you see him back this week, are you like, oh my gosh, it's great to have Julian back? Or have you felt like, hey, why is he back? Wouldn't it be great just to have him just in prison? And William DeVry, as great of an actor as he has been, and many people have enjoyed him, but I feel like maybe he's just kind of run out of a purpose in the show, and maybe he should just be in prison. He could be like the 2017 version of Sean, you know, character that some people liked, and now he's in prison, and that's all. Maybe occasionally we get to see him for a day bit when we need him for some kind of important piece of Jerome family history or something. So we've of course got that, and she goes in to see him. He's been roughed up, and we see at the end of it, what I like this is that he gets done talking with Alexis, and then they walk back to his cell, and then he gets body checked by some big old beefy white guy, just like some big old muscular dude, just checks him. And we have Julian, who's already kind of beaten and bruised and has got a cast in his arm, kind of wincing from the pain. And then he leaves. And then the big dude comes walking by as Alexis is just standing outside, you know, on the other side of the glass looking at this. And he just turns and he looks at Alexis with that ridiculous, like, creepo look. Like, yeah. Doesn't say anything, but just, like, gives Alexis that menacing look and then moves out. Adulaman says they're bringing him back to do what? He fills no void. Julian can stay in jail. I haven't missed him one bit from R. Melvin fan. Arian Brody, I'm so tired of Alexis. And Miss Yaki, Julian is a wimpy monster. So Michael B., me too. Hashtag free Sean. Art Academics, literally they need to figure out what to do with Julian. Do they need to figure out what to Julian, or is Julian just a character that has simply run his course? Because I don't know if there's anything that you can do. You've taken away the Derek Wells media side of it. You've given it over to the Billy Morgan, Jason, and Sam. So that's kind of taken out of it. So we've lost like a business avenue to explore with him. And, you know, I don't want to see any more of this Julian Alexis thing. So that doesn't really seem to be any good. So I don't know what purpose having Julian on the show really serves anymore. Sarah C. says they really don't need Julian. Tracy Runko says they need to get rid of all the dead weight. And Deanne's Corner says Julian most definitely ran his course. Yeah, you know, MGP 18 says he should die. He makes no sense on the show anymore. Yeah, you know, I don't know if he needs to die, but I also think, like, hey, he could just be in prison and we never see him again. Yeah, I don't know. He is so hated in Port Charles. I mean, other than Ava, nobody else is really. And Alexis is like, oh, I'm still kind of drawn to him, but I hate everything that he's done to me. So I'm this whole big barrel of just issues when it comes to Julian. You know, I don't want to see that storyline either. So I just don't know what we get out by having Julian back. And, you know, it's as much as you can like the actor there, I feel like there are just some characters can be kind of eternal. You can take your Luke Spencers, you can take your Erica Kanes, you can take your Adam Chandlers, all those. And they could be duplicitous, but they also could be good, and or at least, you know, doing good things for other people. So, I mean, those are characters that have been able to show that they've had a length and breadth. You can do a lot of different things with these characters, and they can have their ups and downs and their peaks and valleys throughout the years, but they're never written in such a way where you feel they've been backed into such a corner that you can't do anything with them. And then you do have some characters that come onto a soap that, for better or for worse, they just have like a shelf life. They just certain amount of time, they can come in, they can be big and explosive while they're there, and they're taken off the canvas very quickly. Otherwise, the other times they can be there 2 or 3 years, and then they just kind of they burn out of story potential ideas, or they're written in such a way where the writers have cornered themselves with this character, and there's nothing else they can do, so they just have to get rid of the character. And I feel like Julian is that character. It's just, you know, I mean, Miss Yaki says it's time for all the Jeromes to go. You know, I've gone up and down with both Jeromes, both Ava and Julian, for the longest time. And Julian has been, I feel like Ava, I kind of went up and down. And Julian has been basically just kind of a steady decline, and to the point where she's kind of dropped off. And the whole, once he pulled the knife on Alexis, he just dropped off the map for me. And it just hasn't been anything that you could do with that character that I would find him redeemable enough to do anything more with him. So I feel like you just got to let Julian go. Ava, yeah, I mean, she still has some promise. She still has some ups and downs. I feel like there's some storyline potential with her as well. So if I had to choose between, I don't think I'd get rid of both Jeromes. I definitely would get rid of Julian and keep Ava for now. We'll see what happens with that. So we'll see what happens with the Ava and, just the Alexis and Julian storyline. We do have, speaking of Ava, Alexis goes to her seeking help. Like, hey, you try to take control of the Jerome mob family. Can't you call people? And Ava, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, for Ava, it was just like, no, I have no connections anymore. Like, really? You have nobody? Nobody at all that you could reach out to give you any sort of help or at least some advice. There's nothing that Ava could do. I found that kind of dubious. But I don't think Ava wants anything harmful to happen to Julian. But I also feel like, come on, writer. Seriously, there's nobody that she could reach out to. So we'll see what Alexis's tactics happen to bring us, which we get a little tease of it, and that's to figure out like a way for her to be able to talk to Olivia Jerome. So we'll see what that does. I don't know. But you'd be curious, because Olivia really has no reason. All she wants is revenge against Julian, so she has no reason to kind of change her tune. So I'll be curious to see what happens out of those scenes between Alexis and Olivia. Speaking of Ava, though, we've got, which ties us into the two Jason storyline, is the big whole thing is that, of course, she went to Russia to get that surgery to restore her face. And Dr. Klein stopped the surgery after it was almost done, because Ava decided to help out the Steve Burton, Jason Morgan, flee Russia to head back to the States. So now she's back stateside. Dr. Klein is back stateside. He's been incarcerated. He gets bail from Sonny because Jason has told him, like, hey, if you want answers, you got to talk to Dr. Klein. So he's bailed out by Sonny as he and Jason try to grill him on this. And before he's turned loose, Steve Burton's Jason says, hey, you know what? All that medical expertise that you have in restoring burn victims' faces, or at least whatever body part's been damaged, I need that because you need to be able to fix Ava Jerome. You didn't quite finish the job. So give it up for Steve Burton's Jason Morgan there. Look at him standing up for Ava. Interesting. I mean, you're just kind of doing something for somebody else. Look at that. It just man, I can't say it enough times how much I'm just digging having this version of Jason back on the canvas. But he gets Dr. Klein to give up his medical information and put it on a flash drive, takes it over to Ava, leaves a little note there, hope that helps her. And conveniently, Kiki comes by, so they're able to kind of suss out that this could help restore the rest of her face. Kiki takes a flash drive to Griffin and Dr. Bench, and they say, hey, the medicine seems sound, but it's untested. So I feel like that's going to be the big dilemma coming up is I feel like, you know, she's going to get her face repaired. And is it going to be Griffin? Is he going to kind of try to break the medical rules and do an untested method on Ava? Which the other part of it was like, this has been untested. But I also feel like, you know, Griffin, and I don't know how much like Dr. Benchin saw Ava before she left and went to Russia, but Griffin, I feel like you can get away with that. You know that it has been tested because Ava looks considerably better than she did than when she initially went to Russia. Far more improved. So you know that the procedures work. It's just, are you willing to kind of do a procedure that hasn't been authorized as a good in standing procedure here in the States? So, you know, Griffin's like, that's untested. We don't know. Like, nah. You know, Griffin, look at the person's face that you're talking to. That'll answer all your questions about whether it's tested or not. But I feel like that's going to be the pickle is will Griffin be able to do the, I guess, at least in the larger scheme, the wrong thing for a good reason, which is not only to help somebody he cares about, but just a human being trying to get rid of these scars that are just weighing on her emotionally. So we've got that storyline going on. And the other thing that I've been enjoying too this week is getting into the two Jason storyline is this. But I'll cut to right what we saw at the end of the week, and that was we finally get to have a conversation between Carly and Sonny about how much that what they've done to the Billy Miller version of Jason, that they kind of cut him out. As soon as they saw Steve Burton's Jason come in, they're like, oh my gosh, that's the real Jason. And they basically turn their back on the Billy Miller version. And even Billy Miller's Jason the whole week is saying how much that has hurt him to have the people that he, you know, thought was like a brother or like one of his best friends all of a sudden just turn their back on him when this other person that comes into town that just happens to look like the old version of him, but there's no reason to believe that he is that old version. I did like that they had that conversation like, hey, you know, he's been nothing but loyal and he's stood up and protected us when he's so we shouldn't. It's not the right thing for us to completely cut him out of our lives. He needs to be brought back in the loop and everything that we're learning. And I like that scene because, yes, I mean, whenever the truth is revealed and we find out that Steve Burton's Jason is the real version and Billy Miller's is really Drew with Jason's memories kind of overimposed on his. Regardless of that. You know, I mean, still, he stood by you guys. He, other than not being Jason, he behaved in every way like Jason for the most part because, you know, that's what he was, you know, he's based on Jason's memories, even if he wasn't like that, even if that wasn't who he really is underneath everything. So you can't, I agree with him that you can't just cut the guy loose. Even if he's not your version of Jason, he was still somebody that did a lot for both of them and for their family while he was involved in their lives. So we get that scene. We also get a really good scene, too, with Monica and Billy Miller's Jason there in the Quartermain crypt where they get to have a conversation. And it is interesting, though, that Steve Burton has not had a scene with Leslie Charleston yet. So his version of Jason and Monica have not crossed paths yet to have a conversation yet, which I find very interesting. And I feel like I think like Monica kind of senses it too at her scenes at the end of the week is that as she tells Alan, she's like, I wish you were here because I feel like this incredible miracle is happening and I wish you were here to see it, is that she's going to not just going to get back one son, but now she's going to have two sons. The whole truth about them being twins is going to come. So also now you have two sons. And it's going to be interesting to see because I feel like Monica gets to have, well, I think we've said it all before. There's going to be two Jasons now. And people get to have the Jason that kind of leaves a mob, and you get to be happy with that version of Jason, maybe interacting more with the Quartermains and seeing what that version of Jason is like. And then you get the other Jason that's the old Stone Cold version that is right there with Sonny and Carly, and we get to see that version. So I kind of like the idea that we're going to get – we get to have our cake and eat it too when it comes to the Jasons. And to see these scenes with Monica where you get one son that is still kind of gravitating more towards the Quartermain side, and then one that is still free, very, I think still has a soft spot for Monica, but is still going to, when the chips are down, going to still side with Sonny and Carly. But it was great to see. I thought it was cool to use two flashback scenes, one with Billy Miller, Billy Miller's Jason and Monica, and one with Steve Burton's Jason and Monica from two different points there as they're talking to her. And I felt like it was Monica. As we say, Marcella in the chat says that Monica scene with new Jason was very moving, and new Jason needed that. He needed to have one person in his corner because even Sam has doubts. I would agree with that. And PEI, Kelly and PEI, loved the montage when Monica was talking to Alan. Yeah, I would agree with that. I feel like Jason, Billy Miller's version of Jason, or new Jason as Marcella's calling him, is, he's just hanging by a thread right now. Because you see the tension every time that he's around. Steve Burton, Stone Cold Jason there, man, it takes everything from to stop him from wanting to just rip him apart if he could. And our Melvin fan, you brought up a point that I thought too. I really like Billy's hair in that flashback. I thought that same exact thing, our Melvin fan. I was like, man, I really like Billy Miller's hair in that. I was like, that's a good look. I like that so much more than what he's rocking right now. Let's see more of that old school. So we end the week, though, with, we've got Jordan showing up with the DNA tests, and she's run them on both Jasons, and they both show up that they are both Jason Quartermain. So now basically we're waiting for, hey, we got to find out when Franco's going to at least reveal that, hey, memory mapping was used. Drew is really alive. Both of them have Jason's memories, and now we got to determine who's the real Jason and who's not. And it's just, even though Andre said, like, you can't undo this, it's going to get undone. And we're going to see what Drew feels like when he's lost 5 years of his life, having his brother's memories kind of overimposed on his, and how does he reclaim it. And I feel like it's going to be revealed that it'll be Billy Miller as Drew, and how he's going to try to build a new life once he kind of gets those Jason memories kind of pulled out of him and he gets to be just Drew again. So we'll see what happens. But ladies and gentlemen, that was a lot of talking on my part. One quick thing is Andre leaving the show for Miss Yaki asks in the chat? I have no idea. I'm guessing we're going to see him back at some point because this whole memory mapping thing, it's going to have to be kind of resolved, and I feel like he'll be part of that resolution. But as of right now, I mean, he's gone from the show, at least for now. I'm so disappointed. I could go on for too long about how I feel like Andre's character has been done a lot of wrong on the show. He had a lot of potential that was never fully realized, and it's disappointing. As a character, unlike Julian or Amy or this Manlander storyline, I'm happy to see go. Andre is a character that I felt like just never got a chance to really show everything that he was capable of, and it's a shame. You know, that's an example of a character that had so much to offer and never really got a chance to show it. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this episode of the GH Report. But thank you so much for joining me in the chat. I know we couldn't talk tonight, but thank you for letting me read all your thoughts, though. It was great to hear everything. And, there you go. Miss Yaki said it better than I could. Andre should have been with Anna. Couldn't say it better than that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this episode. But as always, like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Thanks, everybody, for hopping in the chat. And, thanks for all the kind words. I couldn't do this show without all you folks. So thanks for taking the time to hop in the chat and share your thoughts. We'll be back here next week. Why don't we do it next week? Why not? It'll be fun. Let's do it. I'll see you back here next Sunday night at 6 p.m. Pacific time for another episode of the GH Report right here on AfterBuzz TV. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at HappyGoJackie. Why not? There you go. I'll see you next week. Bye-bye, everybody.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principal.